turn, you know what I mean?
Well, amen. Be nice to have one of those Mustangs.
Yeah, praise the Lord. If I really had one though, I'd have one of those.
Stingray, you're talking about a completely different vehicle. We're talking Mustangs. We're talking real cars now. We're not trying to get a fight going here. Anything like that. Or a debate.
It's not up for debate.
No, it isn't. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Mustang's a Ford. Amen. That's what we like. First on race day. Amen. Of course, that was many years ago. It's all what, Honda and Chevys now. Well, anyhow, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad you're here. This is the last night. Last night's always kind of hard for the evangelist and his family, and thinking about pulling out and going back and starting all over again someplace else. Amen. And I just pray that there's been something accomplished this week, and that you've been blessed. I want to thank you for everything. My goodness, we've been treated really well this week, and we praise the Lord for that. And we're thankful for that. Pray for us. We're going to be driving through the night. So if you wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, think of us. We'll be around the Cleveland area probably about that time. So be praying for us. And wake up at 4 or 5, we'll probably be, oh, I don't know, Dayton. Maybe down the Dayton area. I don't know. Someplace around. So, but anyhow, we just thank the Lord that we can travel for Jesus. Amen. And been doing this for a few years, and I think I figured it up, brother. I've been coming here for 13 years so far. Now, you skipped a year, so that means only 12 years, but it's 13 years, and we could have made up that somehow, but oh no, not that. See, what you don't understand is I do this for free, amen. No, people don't understand this. I say things like that, and you know.
I remembered what happened that year was I was teaching college that year.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're gonna have a Bible meeting, but I wouldn't. And the parameters were off. Alabama.
So I've just been
someplace in there.
So it's just been me and a few others, huh? And praise the Lord. All right. I had something else I was going to say, but I forgot what it was, so it doesn't matter. God apparently didn't want me to say it. All right. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians and get into the Word of God tonight and find out what the Lord has for us out of His book. And you're mighty comfortable, so please stand with me. Amen. You know, when the preacher... Well, it's all stand and sing. I'm standing back there singing. I have to stand and preach. How unfair is that? Amen. I complained. Where was it? We were at a church and they stand for everything. Yeah, all we do is stand. And I complained to him. I said, can't we sit for a while? He just shook his head and kept on standing. Shut up and get with the program. Amen. What were we doing? Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look down, scroll your finger down there at about verse 9. And we'll read that verse. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Well, I like that verse. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather around in your house. And there may be some that think we're kind of fanatical to be at church on Friday night, and there's so many things to do in this world. And we could be out having a good time, and here we are at church. People don't understand that we can certainly have a good time at church. One of the greatest things about this is we can be drawn closer to you. And Lord, I guarantee you, there's no other place in this world we'd rather be if Jesus were to split those eastern skies right now than in your house. Please, dear God, help us tonight. Give us exactly what we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice it says down here that one word, prepared. God hath prepared for them that love Him. God's in the preparation business. I like that. I preached a message here on that very subject several years ago. It might have been the year we skipped. Maybe I was just thinking about preaching it. You might have missed out on that one. But it wasn't this message, so we'll just go on. But He's taken the time to prepare some things for us. And I praise the Lord for that, don't you? I'm glad that He's thinking about us. By the way, we're told in Scripture, Psalm 139, that His thoughts are, there's so many thoughts that He thinks towards us that we couldn't even possibly imagine the thoughts that He thinks towards us. We couldn't count the thoughts that He thinks towards us. It's just too great for us to grasp a hold of, because we are certainly not infinite. We're finite man. We are weak. And God is great and strong. And I like that. I'm glad I got a strong God that can take care of me. I'm glad that in my weakness, God can take care of us. My wife, we were driving down the road, and she says, "Are you asleep?" I said, "No, it was 10 miles back I was asleep. I woke up just a few minutes ago." But the Lord has a way of taking care of us even when we're sleeping, when we're supposed to be driving. God is great. And I don't think I can overemphasize how great God is. Colossians chapter 1 says, "By Him all things consist." And if we could just grasp a hold of that one word, consist. But I think we're too frail to even grab a hold of that. Because see, without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing would go. Nothing would operate. Your heart wouldn't pump. Your lungs wouldn't breathe. Your eyes wouldn't operate and focus. And without Him, you would not be in existence. By Him all things consist. The earth rotates around the sun. It rotates every 24 hours. That's a day. I want to tell you something. God is doing that. The moon rotates around the earth. And all of those things keep going. And you know what? All of it just keeps on going day in, day out. And we just take it for granted. But God just keeps it going. These evolutionists have no idea. They try to have some explanation for why things continue as they do, but they really have nothing to stand on, because without the Word of God, there is no understanding. But God has taken the time not only to keep us going and keep these lungs pumping and the heart pumping, the blood and all of these different things, but He's prepared some things for us. I want you to hold your finger there. Go back with me to the book of Psalms. And notice what it says down here in Psalm 65. And this is just kind of a side view here before we get into the message, okay? But Psalm 65, notice what it says here. Go down about verse 9. thou, that's God, visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn. That word corn is not talking about field corn like we know it, but it, wheat and barley and different things that could mean different things. The grain that grows. So he prepares them, and you could, I'm not pleased. Corn's good. Okay. But it's the wheat and the grain that we have, the bread that we eat. When thou hast so provided for it. And we could read, let's read on. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. Oh, that is glorious. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy, and they also sing. God has prepared all those things for us. He prepared it for us. And we're blessed. And you know what? We're so blind here in America that we think it's by our ingenuity. We think it's by our hard work that all of these things are accomplished. And genetics. We have genetics that now we have corn that grows and it can grow in dry weather. And they claimed that when we were having the drought several years ago in Iowa, that the only reason we had a harvest was because of the genetic corn that they had planted. No, I want to tell you something. It was still God that did it. And regardless of what they were bragging about, it was still God. I can remember the whole year that during the drought, they said, oh, I don't even know if we're going to have a harvest. Oh, and they're wringing their hands. And we had a record harvest. And every time we turn around, we're having record harvests. And it was the same way. I went to South Dakota, did some preaching up in South Dakota, and heard on the radio, oh, it's the driest year we've had in I can't remember how many years. And then it was like a month later, we heard the wheat harvest busted all the records that year in South Dakota. It's just amazing to me that they're so blinded by man's technology and man's ingenuity and what man can accomplish that they can't see the hand of God in it all. God has prepared it all for us. Now I want you to think about some things tonight. We're going to preach quick. You listen quick. We'll be out of here quick. But I want you to think about some things. God has prepared some blessings for us. I want you to go over here to the book of Hebrews. You can stop holding your finger there in 1 Corinthians if you're holding your finger there. We're not going back to that for a while. We might go back to it, but we're not going. We're not now. Now, if you want to hold your finger there, that's fine. I didn't. My wife says, come on, let's go. Let's get into this. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. I think it's Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to notice that God first. Now, we're going to go in a progression here in this message. And I apologize, it's not an ABC message. It's not an acrostic tonight. So you're going to actually have to work to figure out what I'm talking about. But God has prepared a city. Now, I want you to notice here first, here in Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 14. What we're talking about right now is the right now. And it says here in verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You know, see, everything that we have on this earth right now is just temporary. It's temporal. So we have no continuing city. Now, this building here, I have no idea how old this building is, but I know it's old. How old this building is. But you know something about this building? It's still just temporary. This is not a permanent building. This is not a structure that's going to last forever. Eventually, it will collapse. It will be gone. So everything on this earth is the same way. Regardless of what we may think of our vehicles, they're just temporary. They rust away. They're junk in a matter of years, and that's it. You know, and we can go and find all the great Mustangs in the world, but you take them through one winter in New York and they're gone. Amen. Because they're going to rust away. That's just the way it is. That's the facts of life. But everything's temporary. And matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 6, we've read it, verses 19 through 21. We read it last night. Those last verses we read last night. But moth and rust doth corrupt. We read within those verses, moth and rust doth corrupt. Folks, that's the way it is with the things of this world. We have no continuing city. I think of our hometown where we grew up and we went to high school in Tumwa, Iowa. And I look at that town now and there's been many changes in that town from the way it was when we were kids. A lot of the old buildings that used to be there are no longer there, and they built new buildings. And I can remember on the other side of the railroad tracks down towards the river, there was a whole community down there. And, of course, it was lower-income people that lived down there. But I remember at one time the state came in and said, well, we want these people to live better and have better things. So they went in there and bulldozed all those houses out of there. And now it's, I can't remember what they call it now. It's a, what?
Industrial
Park. And they fixed it up so it won't flood anymore, you know, the river. But yet that fooled them back a few years ago. I think it was 2005. They had fixed it. They guaranteed it never flood ever again. 2005, it flooded. And I thought that was the greatest thing in all the world. Man in his arrogance makes stupid statements like it'll never flood again. And God just says, no, you wait and see. And they had a bridge there that they said this bridge will stand forever. And they had pictures of it as the flood was going through. It moved the bridge like 3 or 4 inches. It will stand forever. Now nobody can cross it because it's dangerous to cross. Folks, the fact of the matter is that nothing's permanent. Everything changes. And this old world is temporal. If you're holding on to anything in this world, you're holding on to the wrong thing. You're just holding on to the wrong thing. And, there's some things you wish could stay and last forever, but it's not going to happen. I remember the old homestead. Man, I wish that was still around, but it's not there anymore. Things have changed so much around where I grew up. And it's all going to be... By the way, even if this building lasts for another 100 years, you know what? It's going to be destroyed by fire. God's going to send and destroy everything on this earth. As a matter of fact, I believe with all my heart, if you will, hold your finger there in Hebrews. Really, hold your finger there. Okay. And go with me to 2 Peter. And notice what it says here in 2 Peter. Great, great passage of Scripture. And I think what we see is like an atomic bomb going off. But actually what it is, it is an atomic bomb, but it's Jesus letting go. He lets go of the atoms. He's the one that's holding the atoms together. And he just lets go. And the result is a heat and a fire that destroys everything. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 3, down here in verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Wow. Everything. All the things that we hold on to so dearly in this world. I think of all the little trinkets we have. All the little things that we gathered as we travel. As memorabilia and all that junk that we have. That we have to move every time we move from one house to another. And then sometimes we look at the things that we're packing up and say, why on earth did we keep it? But we do. We just keep on packing it away and we keep on taking it to the next place we live. But one of these days, all those things, those treasures, are going to burn up. Notice in verse 11, seeing then that that all these things shall be dissolved. That's it right there, that word dissolved. Think about this. Jesus, let's go. You go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and he took nothing and made something out of it. He took the atoms, which you can't see, and brought them all together, put them together, made wood. And that's it. They dissolve. In other words, he just lets go. When the atomic bombs went off over in Japan, they talked about the heat that was involved with these atoms just letting go. And they've actually shown film of this, and you could see the atoms let go and it spreads out. And folks, I want you to understand something. While these atoms are letting go, great heat is involved in all of that. And I understand it was a horrible, horrible thing, but it brought an end to war. And I can understand why the United States of America did it. And we had no reason to go to Japan and apologize. We're not the ones that asked for war. They're the ones that came to us. And matter of fact, we're the only country in the world that after we've defeated somebody in battle, we go and rebuild their country for them and spend billions of dollars rebuilding their country. But the dissolved, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see, we give up those things because that we know it's all going to burn up, that they're meaningless to us. So we live a holy life for God. Look at verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be, what's that next word? Dissolved. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Wow, I don't know about you, but this is something that we need to grab a hold of today and understand that we have no continuing city here. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to dissolve in a fervent heat. But we have the truth from the Word of God. See, God has prepared a city. And by the way, over here, look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham sought this city. He desired it. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He hath prepared for them a city." You see, Abraham, he desired to see that city. It's not these cities here upon this earth. It's something that's far greater than that. We're going to get into this. I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm so excited about this. I want to jump ahead right now. But the fact is, Abraham desired it. Now, that city that Abraham desired, John saw it. Look, if you will, over here, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. This is the city Abraham sought. This is the city that he desired. Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then you go and if you read on from verse 9 on, you read about how great this city is and all the things that are in the city. Look down here in verse 23. This city is for a particular people, by the way. It's prepared for a particular people. Look at verse 23 and 24. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are," what? "Saved." You know, it's amazing you go out here, "Hey, you saved? What are you talking about, saved? Well, it's a Bible word. You don't know what saved?" "No, I don't know what saved is. I go to church. I belong to such and such a church. Pastor Cynthia Duguid is my pastorette. Matter of fact, I was just there. She had the best sermonette I ever heard. Wow, what a time we had. Then we had a potluck dinner. Wow, it was great. I go to church. No, I didn't ask you to go to church. I'm a member. No, I didn't ask you if you remember. I was baptized when I was a baby. No, I didn't ask you that. Are you saved?
Yeah.
You know Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior. Have you come to know Jesus? Do you realize that you're lost without Christ? And that you needed to repent of your sins and call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? For whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. Well, it's for the saved. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel pretty good about this. About this city that's prepared. But I want to go one better. Look back here in John. The Gospel of John. A more specific is talked about here in John, and that's a mansion. A mansion. Now, there's a city that's prepared. Abraham desired that city. John saw that city. But you know what's in that city? A mansion. I like this. This is getting good now. Now, notice what it says here in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. John chapter 14, verse 2. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to, what's that next word? Prepare a place for you. I had a guy correct me. And he said, you know, that verse doesn't say we have a mansion. It says that we have a place. I said, well, you can live any place you want to. I've got a mansion. And another fellow said, you know, isn't it odd that God has a house and in that house are mansions? I said, it's a big house. Amen? Matter of fact, it is a big house. If we were to read about that city, do you understand that that city is a big square? And it's about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's a square. It's a cube. Now, 1,500 miles is a lot of distance. And you can get a lot of things in a 1,500-mile cube. Now, I've also had people, you know, tell me that there's not streets of gold. It only mentions a street of gold. Well, yes, it does. But that street has to curve many, many, many miles throughout that city. And so there's a lot of curves along the way. But the fact of the matter is that it's a glorious, glorious city that John saw come down out of heaven. And that glorious city within it has a mansion that is prepared. Folks, you aren't excited. You just don't seem too excited yet. But this is getting gooder and gooder. It's a mansion. And notice what it says here in verse 3. Jesus makes a promise. Here in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So, he's made us a promise that he's coming back to take us to that city and deliver us right to our front door. And that's pretty good stuff. Now, it's reserved. Now, remember, the city was reserved. And by the way, I was told by a preacher that the New Jerusalem was made for the Jews. There won't be Christians in that. Well, I just read you a verse back in Revelation that said the nations, the saved out of the nations, will walk in that city. They will have citizenship in that city. So don't come and tell me that it's for the Jews only. You see, God, when Jesus died on the cross, He tore down that middle wall of partition. Do you realize that in the temple, the Gentiles could only go to a certain point in the temple? They couldn't go beyond that point. That's that wall that separated the Gentiles and the Jews. Jesus, when He died on the cross, tore down that wall. There's no difference. And then later on you read, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Folks, there's no difference between the two. You read Romans chapter 10 when you get home, and you find out that that same gospel message that you got saved by, the Jews will get saved by. That's the same thing. There's no difference between the two. You don't have to preach a different gospel to a Jewish man than you do to a Gentile man or a woman. The fact of the matter is, they both are getting saved the same way, and that's through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how you pronounce His name, Jehoshua, as the Jews may pronounce it, but it's Jesus, and He is the Savior of the world. Now, here we are, and we're in that city, and we've been delivered out of this old world by Jesus Christ Himself, who gave us a promise that He's coming back to take us out of this old world, and He's walking us right up to our front door. And He's saying, here's your mansion. There was no for sale sign out there. There was no realtor involved. It was something that was prepared for me. Now here's the kicker right here. It's verse 1 in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. It's for believers.
Amen.
Oh, this is great stuff. Man, I might even get excited before this. Hold your finger. Just underline that word, believe. Go to 1 Thessalonians, if you will. Even if you won't, I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now remember, verse 3 of John 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Well, when's that going to take place? Well, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have passed away, those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we, what's that next word? Believe. This is for believers. You see? This is for believers. Now, don't stone me. Please don't get mad at me for this. You know, we always talk about the rapture of the church. If you believe like I believe, everybody's not in the church. Because I believe in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Now, there's people that belong to local New Testament Bible-believing churches, and there's others that don't. But they're still saved. You know what Jesus is coming back for at the rapture? Believers. Those that believe. Now, think about this. All right, let's go on here. I've already branded myself, so I'm, you know. All right. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself. What? The Lord Himself. What does that say? The Lord Himself. No, so He says back here in John chapter 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. The Lord Himself. He's keeping His promise. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and of the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to comfort you tonight. You believe? Are you a believer? Are you saved? Well, you're the ones he's looking for. When he comes back, he's snatching us out of this old world. Where is he going to take us? He's going to take us to that city that has a mansion. And it's got your name written over the door. He's prepared it for you. Now, I want to take this a little bit farther. Because this even gets gooder. Amen? Oh, this is so good. God prepared a body. A body. Now, I want you to go with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you holding your finger there in Hebrews? You should have already been there almost. Hebrews chapter 10. All right. From now on, don't listen to me when I say hold a finger anywhere because you don't need to. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what it says down here in verse 5. Verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now this body we're talking about here is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came to this earth, of course we know that he was born of a virgin. It was a miraculous birth. But a body was prepared for him. Now look down here. Let's keep reading. Let's go to verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now notice, we'll keep on reading. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. But by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now here's the truth that we just read. The Jewish sacrifices of the lambs and the goats was something that had to be continual over and over and over again. Jesus came into the world and a body was prepared for him. Now there's a specific reason for that body to be prepared for him. It was prepared so it becomes the ultimate sacrifice. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming? Behold, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He had a body. He didn't look like a lamb. He looked like a man. But what John was saying is, there's the sacrifice. When he said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, everybody in earshot knew what he was talking about. That's the sacrifice. Well, Jesus came for that specific reason. He took on a body so he could be the sacrifice. And he went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for us. He took that body on so he could suffer. But there, take this a step farther. Think about this. The city was prepared for the saved, right? We talked about that. All right, I'm testing you. All right. The mansions were prepared for believers, right? That's right. The body is the sacrifice which makes that all possible, right? Right. But when we go to heaven, we're going to have a body. Amen. But it ain't going to be this body. Amen. So he took on a body for another reason. So we could have a body just like it. Somebody say, prove it. I'm glad you said it. Look, if you will, over here in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And notice what it says here. Philippians chapter 3, down here in verses 20 and 21. For our conversation. Now, conversation is not talking about what we say. You know, nowadays we talk about a conversation, and that's what we discuss. That's the things that we say, the words that come out of our mouth. That's not talking about that. Our conversation is our life, our living, you know, living life. So our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're looking for Jesus? Amen. Now look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile body? It's this body that we have as a vile body. I mean to tell you. And it hurts. And we have pains. And it doesn't want to work right. And you eat the wrong kind of food and you pay for it. And you try to go upstairs and your knees give out. And all the things that go, you know, the golden years aren't so golden sometimes. And you learn those things. Why? Because you got a vile body. Paul said it another way, and another portion of Scripture said the whole creation groans. I believe that. We're groaning. But notice it says here, who shall change? Now, who's doing the changing? Jesus, okay? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. His glorious body. Now, you see, he had a body that was prepared for Him. And one of these days, Let's do this. Go over here to 1 John. 1 John. And notice what it says here in chapter 3 of 1 John. Oh, I love this. Sometimes I preach in some churches and I understand they're sitting there looking at me like a calf at a new gate, and they're not getting what I'm saying, and I'm just having too much fun with it. So, whether they understand it or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to preach it anyhow. I'm just having too good of a time. Look here in 1 John chapter 3. It says, verse 1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Are you a son of God? If you're saved, you're a son of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, we don't have any idea right now what we're going to be. Praise God. Amen. I look in the mirror and I says, I'm due for a change. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. There's a city that's been prepared. It's prepared for the saved. Not just the Jews. And I praise God it's prepared for the Jews too, but it's for the saved. More specific than that, there's a mansion that's prepared for believers. And I'm looking forward to walking down Glory Avenue and walking up that sidewalk and walking through the door of the mansion that He's prepared for me. But then there's something even better than all of that. There's a body. The body that's been prepared. When I see Him, I will be like Him. That's about as great as it can possibly get. Somebody has this idea that, well, we're going to be gods ourselves. No, no, no. We're not going to be God. So don't ever get that idea. Secret things belong unto God. And we'll never attain to those secret things. But we'll have greater understanding in glory than we do here. And that will be great also. But we're going to have a perfect body. And you know what? I think that when we look at Scripture and we read over there in Revelation when God reaches down and wipes away our tears and all the former things are passed away and all things are new, from that point on, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying, weeping. There'll be no more death. All of the things are... And we will actually understand what God's plan and purpose was while we walked this sod. And we will shout glory and really mean it on that side. Believers, we have a glorious future. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to glory. Amen. Let's stand real quick. Our precious Heavenly Father, we do love You. We thank You for this time that we can spend in Your book. Lord, I pray that You just take this time that we've had together and help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of the things that You prepared for us. And Lord, help us to have a greater appreciation for what You're doing for us. I'm looking forward to seeing the city that's prepared for the saved. I'm looking forward to seeing the mansion that's prepared for believers. And I'm looking forward to seeing the body that You have prepared for me. Lord, I just ask that You'd work in hearts now and help us, Lord, to put it all on the altar tonight. And help us not to carry around any baggage, but be prepared for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a minute. We're going to have an invitation. You can pray where you're at. I got a pet peeve. I never liked preachers that got up and re-preached the message that the evangelist just preached. But I am going to a city where the streets in gold are played, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. You're going to that city. If not, you need to get that fixed tonight. Praise the Lord. And let's do this tonight. We've had just some excellent services. Let's just open up. And I've got a testimony of praise they'd just like to share with us tonight. Yeah, Brother Ben.